I have been planning to say once a week for the or philosophical discourses, but I mean simply to find the Chumash in safer places. Which we didn't expect to find in a safer way, which is kind of fucking very, very far from being a sefer halacha. When you say halacha, so you're speaking of gdeshim, behar b'chubehar, seitzei, sheftim. Those are the sforim, the sefer yativa, which contain halachas. They take a sefer, a book like Dvorim, sheftim. And those halachas cannot be found in the middle of Metzias or in Hanafkid or in Merube, but contrary to our expectations in Breishis. And as long as we speak about Breishis having in mind Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it is still, we can imagine the possibility of finding halachas. Because the higher levels, I mean, the lives of our ancestors, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are three Shulchan Aruchs. The lives themselves of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are codes of morality. And naturally, from whom do we sub, under whom, under whose so we still can expect to be surprised and to discover like gold while I was digging for something else. But actually in Breishis not only is your secondary halachas are to be found. In general, there are no secondary halachas here. But even what do you call secondary halachas? Our impression is that we can't find anything there. When you were the king, you know, Amiris Agodles, Amiris Agodles, Amiris Agodles, Amiris Agodles, Amiris Agodles, Amiris Agodles, what kind of morality, what kind of halacha, what kind of practical instructions are there? But this is not like that. It's wrong. What Rabbi Yitzchak said, you all know the mind of Rabbi Yitzchak. And I want to simply say that when I unintentionally read Rabbi Yitzchak Smiler, read and reread and reread. And I ask myself, when was this Maimer written? 1700 years ago, or it was written yesterday in the New York Times lab. And the answer is yesterday in the New York Times you found it. List him out. During this session of the United Nations, I would say that the recording machines in the United Nations have recorded the expression listimatum 105 times. At least. And apparently, the thought bothered Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, that actually the Breishis, what Rabbi Yitzchak said is the following. He asked the question, why not start the Tere from Achet Shazamachem? It means the Tere is just concerned just with mitzvahs. With mitzvahs and with the special relationship which prevails between the Jew, the individual Jew, or the community, the Jewish community, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the main concern of the Teras Meshe, to clarify and to understand the relationship which binds us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all levels. Yeah. So what does he say? Kerech Masa Bidik Lami? The answer is, he says that every event recorded in the Torah is a source of halacha. There cannot be a tere which is not, which doesn't constitute a source of halacha, with regard to the yuchid as well as with regard to the community. Everything is halacha. Because the tere is not a book of stories. I mean, the tere. Tere is not a book of metaphysics. The tere is a book for Chayko Mishpot Nosu Rami. And if the tere tells us about Priyas Elam and Adam Rishon and his fall and his success and his fall and so forth and so on, is apparently in every story in the Torah, in every pasuk, in every word, there is a halacha. But the question is, we cannot decipher the halacha. We have to find a method of decoding the halacha, the message of the halacha, which the halacha is addressed to us. It's an art of decoding. But the wise person will find the message, Allah's message, in every word, in every possible. For now, let us say, Bereishis Bara Elokim Hashamayim V'Ha'aretz. We are speaking only about the psukim from Bereishis Bara Elokim Hashamayim V'Ha'aretz. V'Ha'aretz is a single way. I mean, the first person, Bereishis Bara Elokim Hashamayim V'Ha'aretz. Nakon Rav Yitzchok Kiach Masa Vigid Lami. We had to tell these people, what does that person mean, Keach Masa Vigid Lami? Keach Masa, God's eternal power, which is not specifically an halachic problem. Goyim also ask, what is Keach Masa? This is Goyim, this isn't Goyim. Keach Masa Vigid Lami, he revealed to his people in one pasuk, because it's important for them to know the secret of creation. It's important to them to know the secret of creation in order, as Rabbi Yitzchak interpreted, in order to justify the grant of Eretz Israel, which was bestowed upon the Jewish community. In Bereishis Bara Elokim Hashamayim V'Ha'aretz is hidden, actually. Has the message of Keach Masa Yigid Lami, what's the Nachas game? The message of Eretz Israel. We cannot understand Eretz Israel, and we don't understand Eretz Israel, because it's 900 years old, or perhaps older. Who knows how big the migration of the Jews, how it was during the Bayi Sheni. We don't know, we have no statistics about the Jewish departure from Eretz Israel during the last couple of hundred years, after the Maccabees, defeated the Yevonim. We don't know. It's quite a long time. And to answer the prince's question, what exactly our claims are to Eretz Yisrael, what kind of claims do we have actually? Why isn't the French minister of foreign affairs of the French Republic, why is he wrong? Says an anti-Semite is good, but that he is wrong. The question is, what else does he say? Does he say anything or doesn't he say anything? It's apparently the Torah said, Keach Masa, Yigid Lame, it's apparent that it's an important question. It's an important question that which is addressed to us. Becholdeir vadeir. This is not the Becholdeir vadeir of the Agode. Becholdeir vadeir in the Malayno. And that is an important question. Let's say anti-Semitism is not answer. To us, yes, but our children will be, is another problem. The father understands as a part which is absolutely indispensable for the understanding of our history does not mean that the son and the son's son will interpret like that. Well, what is the answer? What is the answer? The Jews lay an answer to Islam alone. But finally, the struggle between the Jews and their enemies or their foes will be concentrated, will be centered over the Mekina Mikdash. Finally, so take it until our Lord. Not the West Bank, but the Mekina Mikdash. So what does the Mekina Mikdash actually has? It has apparently according to our interpretation. I don't think to reconcile our interpretation with their interpretation. We never said it. There are certain things which a Jew sees and a Goy cannot see it. The Goy wants the Jew to see Yerushalayim using the same glasses that he uses. It's impossible to tell the President of the United States to look upon Yerushalayim from the viewpoint of Esau Gedushis in sculpture as he saw it. Hey, this would not work. We are all teachers, we are all alumni, it wouldn't work. You see, you want to understand the secret of Mitzvah, of the secret of this dispel, or rather dispel, which the Yerushalayim has on the Jew, and the inseparable, togetherness of the idea of Yerushalayim and the Jewish people. You have to be a Jew, not only a Jew, but a good Jew, and not only a good Jew, but a Jew with a certain outlook on this world, certain emunah. So where is the source from which I derive our absolute commitment to Yerushalayim and to Eretz Yisrael and to the idea of Beis HaMikdash in general. Where is it? We find about Eretz Yisrael a few fine words in Chumash. Koretz Hashem Lekecha Mevi Alecha Shama Leik Eretz Mitzrayim. It's a very nice description of the land. But this does not justify 900 years devotion. It's a little too much. And all the description of Eretz Yisrael in Enkev, Eretz Hashem Avaneh Tachziv, Pashtum Avaneh Necheshes V'chalto V'sulotu V'rach, wonderful subscription, I mean the conditions. Wonderful description, if you are interested to buy a house in your life. It's a wonderful description, but if you plan not to buy a house in your life, but to go off on a war, is an enemy, and come back and count instead of the number which left with me. If you shikunim, if you neighborhoods, and come back and you count 339 less. Is the Eretz Mitzrayim is the most solid worship to answer. are certain things which are not the Beskolad Rosh, and one has to fight for them. Certain things which are Cholovet Rosh, but you cannot fight, you turn it over to the enemy. And if Jews are ready, the Jews are not ready, the Jews has not been so trained in the so-called European patriotism. He has not been trained in that. It's very hard to say about the Jew is a patriot. The whole concept of patriotism is not a Jewish one. It's a European concept. It's a secular concept. But Jews apparently are offering their lives. My daughter sent away a boy. Baruch Hashem, he came back. But my daughter is capable of that, doing that. It's new to me. The same is my grandson is leaving tonight for Israel. And again, it's army. But army, if you take a trip, it's all right. But sending somebody not knowing that he or she will see him back, returning, it's too high a price. So the psukim apparently, which are mentioned in Dvorim, in Ekev, and in Rehim, the Mishra, by the praises of the Eretz Yisrael, don't suffice to explain the miracle Yerushalayim, or the miracle Eretz Yisrael, or the Esser Gedushas. Esser Gedushas, a Jew is not concerned with one Gedushas, it's concerned with 10. And each Gedusha of the 10 requires korbanos, sacrifices, complete surrender. And Rabbi Yitzchok found the secret of our complete commitment, absolute commitment to Eretz Yisrael in the Pasuk Breishis Bora Lekim Es HaShomayim Es HaOretz. Breishis Bora Lekim Es HaShomayim Es HaOretz is according to Rabbi Yitzchok, contains an idea which justifies not only the purchase of real estate in Eretz Yisrael, but we justify complete surrender. Miss Yosef, what I want here is make the following remark. What I say here is not that I take sides with certain opinions and a certain movement in our soil. I mean, at all levels, I'm not taking sides with them. But even if it is an absolute commitment, it has certain laws. Our Allah dictates to us measurements, certain mathematical equations, not only for a relative commitment, but for absolute commitments too. The absolute commitment, of course, Eretz Yisrael is an absolute commitment. But whether or not this absolute commitment should be translated, freely, in a manner which is completely, does not agree, disagrees with the principle of Pikuach Nefesh. It disagrees. And you say that today is no problem. Today is where everybody can go and sacrifice his life. And there's no question, don't ask anybody about the questions. This is a little too much, in my opinion. Whatever, I'm not a rov, and I don't pass kasharis. All I tell you, that the commitment to Eretz Yisrael or to Yerushalayim is not a relative commitment, but an absolute commitment. All I tell you, that time, so the passage of years, does not alienate, did not, or will not alienate us from the direct commitment. Third, that even if it's an absolute commitment, Shaharis should be passed, should be resolved with great care and precision, and not to become a excited not to be equated with emotionalist. Not the real name, it's just a Mamara Musa. Because the Knesset Yisrael did not have such a shaila for the last 1900 years. So 1900 and some years at home. And that time there was the big clash, conflict between the great Chacham HaMaaseh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Zichrono Livracha, and a nephew of his, also a patriot, Radat Abadi, because he was later killed by the Romans in Ashman Zichron. If he had been a patriot, I mean, he hadn't been he was a great patriot. But very strange, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was of the opinion that over exaggeration and over emphasis, and complete abandonment of our logical principles and understanding of Jewish history, we should be without it a catastrophe, Rahman al-Islam, may take place. This was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He had a nephew. I don't know if nephew was a tzaddik or not, I don't know. But he certainly was an important person. The Gemara does not condemn him. An important person. He had a different policy. A more sedate approach. And he did not accept Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He rejected it. The nephew was killed by Kiddush Hashem. What would have happened if Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's policy would have been accepted by his own nephew, who was the head of the movement? I don't know. No one knows. But history would have looked, the Jewish history would have looked differently. What this difference, how would it be, would this uniqueness, simply express itself in the events which passed the last 1900 years? I don't know. All I say in such matters, be very careful, as Chazal were careful. Do whatever you deem necessary, even including Mesiras Nefesh, in plain sense of the word. But do it quietly, without statements in the press, without interviews to the media. Ask Shailas of the G'dilei Ador in such a matter. Don't rely on just on emotional excitement. And the Almighty will help us. But let's go back to just a Mamara Musga. Just go back to Rabbi Yitzchak. So what is the motto of our commitment, of our unlimited commitment to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to Beis Hamikdash, whatever it is? What is the motto of Chumash? The current Rabbi Yitzchak is gracious, Bor Elokim, Ezeh Shamayim Ezeh Haaretz. And apparently, according to Rashi, this is the halacha like Rabbi Yitzchak. The Aloha and Embraces Bor Elokim says that our commitment to Eretz Yisrael is an absolute, unlimited as to time, unlimited as to things which we are ready to do for the realization and for the implementation of this great commitment. And where do you find it in Chumash? Meshi didn't say anything about it. Meshi says, Eretz Tevor Chovo. We find it in Bereshis Bo Elokim Ezer Shomayim Ezer. But why? Where did you find in Bereshis Bo Elokim Ezer Shomayim Ezer? It's something which prima facie has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. God created heaven and earth. You saw what I mean? That's why you should yell for 1900 years, it's our land, our land, our land. What is in this statement? How is it possible to explain that our commitment and our claims, legal claims, our commitments are rooted in the statement, in the principle, in the dogma from Precious Born the King as a Shemayim Yisrael. And hence the Ram Yisrael has committed himself forever to a little land full of rocks that he would never desert this limited territory, even if you have to pay the high price. I mean, there is no transition. You see, fine transition from Precious Born the King as a Shemayim Yisrael. Well, let us develop an halachic thought. It wouldn't be difficult, very simple, you know it, but it's very important that this halacha be mentioned. You studied Mezikin. Tomorrow's Mezikin, coming with the Tzim, the Basra, Sanhedrin, and so forth. So what is the source? If you ask yourself, what is the source of Dailus? What is the source of the concept property in our Shulchan Aruch, not in the English Kabbalah, in our Shulchan Aruch? What is it? It is my property. What gives me property? What gives me the right to claim something as a part of my property, of my estate? What? Declaration by whom? By the king? By the feudal society, perhaps, but we have no kings, no feudal societies, anyway. So what is the source of property rights, property claims? When you say he owes the estate. So what is it? I'm not asking so much what it is, I'm asking more or less, what is the source? The moral source, or the ethical source which makes someone an owner of property and somebody else, and another one, as a servant, as a man without property. What do you say about it? And how does property begin, actually? I believe it's plain the answer. There's only one source of property, not five, not ten, because you've been misled when you study the Gemara, Mishiche Agboye Mishire, you know what this was, Mishiche Agboye Mishire, Chotzer, Chlipin, I believe I count all them, there are more, Kinyonim, there are more Kinyonim. Anyway, those I enumerated are enough, so that's. So what? It's not 15 kinyonim or 10 kinyonim. It's basically there is one key. But you cannot live in this world with one key, with a single claim. So we have many kinyonim which represent the central key and the central idea, the central thought of being a proprietor of owning the chosin. What is it? It's in the key of the Maisha too, I'm sorry. What is it? creating the thing, making the thing. Who owns this table? The carpenter, the carpenter. Because why? Because he worked two nights and one day on it. If not for him, there wouldn't have been a table. Without him, I wouldn't have enjoyed the luxury to sit here at table and to table and do things, which makes life more comfortable. How do I know that? M'chiche, Agboe, M'sire, Chotze are symbolic of the person who created it. After all, you cannot say that one person, in order to own a table, I have to create the table, to make the table. I'm not a carpenter, I don't know how to do it. So the Torah substituted many kinyonim in order to realize not the kin. The kin itself is shichel. So if I pull the animal or I pull the table, this is not the source of kinyan. This is a symbol representing kinyan. What is kinyan? Kinyan is simply I'm producing this particular object, but we're not being able to introduce a civil system in which everybody would have to make the things he wants to buy. So we have substituted this particular central kinyan of Shalei, and in order to give a possibility simply commerce and industry and to engage in an active life. This is not, I'll give you another example. Now, let me just there is a Rambam. There is a Rambam in Hilchos Maaseh, I believe, Hilchos Maaseh. But the Rambam said, where the Rambam states the following: Azireya Sode Shal Hefker, Azireya Sode Shal Hefker, Arezechaye B'Maaseh. You know, you all know, as Hefker is part of a Maaseh. If I renounced, or if this particular pile of grain for 5 minutes, even though the next day, or not the next day, the same day, I recaptured or I reacquired this particular pile of peres, or is the orchard or the kernel. If it was Hefker for a certain period of time, there is no Maisha. Because why do I have to say no Maisha? So I believe that Reb Chaim says that Azareya Sodek Shal Hefker is the tvur, the grain, whatever I have, the fruit, the dates, all the fruit to which he tended, and he actually, for which he cared, belonged to him. There never been more Hefker, not even for 5 minutes. Because as the Reya Sodeh Shal Hefker, the fruit belongs to him from the very beginning. That's why it's Chayav Maaseh. To say, as the Reya Sodeh Shal Chaveri, what am I Maaseh? As the Reya Sodeh Shal Chaveri, the zera belongs to the owner of the land. This is only if there is an owner. There is an owner of land or of an orchard, and I should go in and cultivate this particular territory, so the maize will belong, not the maize, the fruit will belong to the owner, to the proprietor, to the landlord. But if there is no owner for the land, there's no owner for the land. Is the fruit, and I work, and I cultivate the land, and I get results. If the fruit belongs to me, what actually did turn over the fruit to me? What is the claim which the fellow who works hard and developed a nice vineyard, this fellow he acquires the fruit? What gear? No, chazoke, he said he doesn't want to make chazoke. Because if he makes chazoke, it's not as rea sode chavere. If he makes chazoke, then it's as rea sode atzme. So what gives him the right to say that it's mine or chai v'maisha? What? The fact that he worked in the vineyard, in the orchard, in the field. But without him, there wouldn't have been any food. Where there is another balabais, another balakeren, another person who actually develops the food, and who owns the sodi, the orchard, then the balasode comes and drives the fellow to whom the orchard belongs. Drives him out. But if there is no other person who owns the soda, but there is no person who owns the soda, and what the food belongs to me. This is the food, a basic kingdom, the kolatere kule, is the kingdom from work, or to produce. If I produce, then this belongs to me. If I don't produce, it doesn't belong to me. Because all the shining mask with Krishna has a rea sodis of Hefke Achai the Maisos. No manu shech, either or. Did. Because sodis of Hefke, he could have had the intention to acquire. To acquire this sodis. It's not as rea sodis of Hefke. I would formulate this aloha in a different manner. As rea sodis, shoyis of Hefke, vizrocha bo Achai the Maisos. This would be as sensational as to say Erev Pesach will get some matzahs, so I got malchus. The Hazrei Sodei Shel Hefker, not a Sodei which belongs to me, but a biography. In a biography we write it's a Sodei Shel Hefker. It's a Sodei which is Hefker and remains Hefker. It's as long as there's no one else to claim the fruit, so he can claim the fruit. The fruit is to be treated, and who is the one? And he gets the fruit. Why? Because the fruit is a result of work, and there's no one in conflict. There's no one else who actually can lay claims to the soda, because the soda is. The soda was Hefker all the time. And then he's talking no different between it. So and Sprach, all the Gemara. This is basically the foundation of Kiyam. Kiyam is the creator. Of course, don't derive from it socialist conclusion. A certain class, I didn't mention the soda Hefker, did I? So he declares at the turn of the century, and later, turn of the century, so the whole socialism, then, 1903, 1905, the world was actually intoxicated, drunk with socialism, particularly socialist ideas. The people cannot understand the impact which socialism had on young minds. Whether socialism is a possibility, not a possibility, or the possibility that socialism will convert finally into the dictatorship and the people did not take, young people did not take it in consideration. Whoever said there's no private property, but there's only property belongs to the public, the state, wherever it was welcome. At that time, they had controversies about what is produced, what is the source of ownership. I mean, while the capitalistic world, the source of ownership is most probably the raw fruit, the raw materials, which the workers cannot provide themselves a reason. They have to ask the capitalists to bring them, to bring those to workers. So socialism, whether they call it the so-called, what the Germans call it, Überweg, this means the work, is basically Lahavro. Yehadus also says, as the source of the value of possessing, possession, properties, to own, is obligation, according to its moral standard, is only the producer owns. The one who doesn't produce doesn't own anything. And basically, in socialism, will come to it. I mean, in Yahadus, is basically private property is a very limited concept, an extremely limited concept. There are many hundreds of mitzvahs and halachos which are based upon the very principle that I just said. There is no property. It's through work. There's no doubt about it that Yahavit does not like, no warfare, but does not like accumulation of unlimited treasures, of unlimited richness or wealth. Certainly opposed to it. But however, there is one mighty difference between the property theory of the Havdol of Yahadus and socialism. The difference is that Yahadus says property, on the contrary, socialism says property belongs to the state. Yahadus says property belongs to nobody. And of course, to somebody is, namely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because in here we come to the simple truth which is told to us in precious Bore Kimas Ashumayim Asorah. It's necessary to know that. Because it's necessary to know who the Bala Paltari is, Palati is. The Medre speaks about Bala Palati. Palati Shoisham Hero, a Palati. Palati means certain big structure, a hall or a house which is beautifully illuminated, but you can't find, sometimes very hard to find the owner. It's beautifully done, but it looks like the property is deserted. And Avraham Avinu, when he came into this world, what did he discover? A simple thing, that the property which is so beautifully illuminated is actually is owned by somebody. Many people can never see that they're the owner. Never. Their eyes are closed, or they're not sensitive. But there is a Baal in the Biro Zu, as the mother says. This Biro, the Biro means the universe, the cosmos. The name of the place. What was the name of Abraham's birthplace? Aram Narai, the Rukazdim. Rukazdim. In the long nights, the roof. But there is an owner. Why is there an owner? A proper, who actually owns all that? Because he created it. What is important in this regard is the idea that God created the world not based on the need of a certificate of accomplishment, but the fact that he created the world gives him what rights to accomplish world. The right of being considered the owner and the proprietor of that particular bureau, this is the cosmos. Abraham derived the conclusion that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator, so he's the owner of that creation. And if he's the owner of that creation, so he has a right to tell the tenant how to live and on what conditions he permits him to exist. Interesting is, there is one Shem in the Shiva Shem Shin and Hokim, which at first glance appears to be strange, like mysterious. You know there is a table of Shiva Shem Shin and Hokim. 7 names. The King, Shin Dalad He, Shin Dalad Yud, and so forth. And among those shemes, there is the Shem Adne. Adne means actually, Adne is the Shem by which God is known to man, to own the world. God is not only created the world, not only just an engineer of running the cosmos, but he owns the cosmos. According to that medrash, this was Avraham's main accomplishment, that he discovered the Shem Adne. Not a medrash anymore. Miyem shibor HaKadosh Baruch HaShalomei Leho Yehodom Shekore Adne At Shibor Avraham Vekore Adne. Neach knew of the world, too. Knew of many from spoke with him. The same is true of Cain. The same is true of Chaneich. The same is true of many personalities in the antediluvian period that knew of HaKadosh Baruch Hu better than the Nevi'im. More than that, they were Nevi'im. HaKadosh Baruch Hu engaged them in a dialogue. So what is the excitement of Abraham about Abraham? The answer is they spoke with Elohim, but not with the Shem Adne. With Adne they didn't speak. From the Bnei Shlom HaSalekim they found in the Neach with Tzadik Tomim, but God revealed himself as Elohim. What means Elohim? What shall I say? As the chief engineer of the cosmos. It never occurred to Neach, the society was a corrupt society, Chomos, Molochot Chomos, that that two people don't have to quarrel. We should not quarrel about the question who owns the earth, the capitalist or the engineer who prepared the blueprint, the capitalist who actually made the implementation of the blueprint possible, or the engineer with his knowledge, I mean, made it carried out, executed all the details. Noach was satisfied with the idea that God created the world. And then, to account to Noach, there was no need to be in contact, stay in contact with him. Abraham, Roy Adams, Roy Lomish, we call Adne, Achibu Abraham, Achibu Avram, we call him. What is Avram? Avram is Avram knew, he knew the Elohim too. The Elohim is the Balakeches. God has the Yechiles, the ability to destroy the world and to reconstruct the world. But this does not mean that I have to listen to him as far as my way of life is concerned. If I'll tell you, you know that the table belongs to you, belongs to me. But this also, the roof on the belongs to me. If not for me, it would be rain. Nice, thank you very much. Therefore, you have to give 10% charge of your money. You know why? You are excellent, you are a kill yochum, but that doesn't mean that I have to accept your laws in hooking this property. In order to make somebody accept hooking this property, not just to know, to have knowledge of him as a great engineer, as a great architect, as the master of the world in the physical scientific sense, all those nekudas, so to say, all those properties of divine origin don't suffice as far as authority is concerned. The doctor who operated on me and saved my life technically is not a doctor whom I would choose to guide my life. He has no moral authority, even though if not for him, let him measure the doctor with a delicate, precise operation, and there are no doctors who know as well as surgery as this person is concerned. Mr. Hans, when the doctor came, he said you have to give $500,000 in order to build an institution in the town. There is no relationship between the fact that the doctor saved my life or the doctor did not save my life as far as the moral commitment is concerned. The moral commitment is not a result of being physically, physiologically, scientifically able to place a satellite on the moon. For the universe to place a satellite on the moon, so should I look upon them as a spiritual manhigin? I would hardly do it. One of them, I believe his name is Glenn, the Nazi reactionary. It's well, it's sometimes hard to find such reactionary. Glenn from Ohio, wasn't he among those who circled the moon or placed a satellite on the moon? Anyway, even though he's an excellent, most probably, he was an excellent technician. It doesn't mean that Newton, greatest of all physicists, actually is the father of the modern physics, classical physics, It was a priority with regard to Emunah. He believed in Taivolim and in devils and whatnot. Well, it's not a joke, it's a fact. So the moral the story of a great engineer does not justify morality. That this person should be considered and looked upon as a moral authority. In order to postulate, and in order to actually to set up a moral authority, one has to have not the Shem Elokim, but the Shem Adne, Aleph Daleth Nun Yud. Aleph Daleth Nun Yud is not that he owns it. When I say he created it, and you don't say he owns it, with the moral claim to authority is very weak. But if I say he owns me, he created me, he owns me, then we deal with a different problem. If he owns me, so he has authority over me. You can possess something and not have authority over me because I possess something vital. But you cannot possess something, however, you cannot become an authority because of the fact that I'm just technically a genius. And I actually made this particular place a Gan Eden. Adam Morishin, this was a trouble for Adam Morishin's friend. Adam Morishin and the Nochash. Adam Morishin, I mean, the Nochash told him, Ki Yedea Likim, Vilim Achochel Menu, Tevara, but let's suppose it's not. Kidurukim, Kibim Achochel Menu, Vilim Tevara. He tried to mislead Adam because it says Adam wants to grab, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochu wants to grab power, authority, because he authority. That's why he doesn't want him to eat it with food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Adam, is basically who actually let me just follow him. Who actually is authority, is an authority? Yahadus. If the technical genius is not the authority which we need, so what is the source of authority? What? The answer is the one wrong. The fact that someone not only created me, made me, but the one who created and made me has authority over me, if the creation wills also not domination in the negative sense, to certain rights upon the person, in the person, certain rights. And usually it comes when the person is a maker and is also a teacher. If a person is a maker, but it is not only just technical things that he is capable to produce. He can produce in the other person understanding and sympathy and a new world of values. Then he acquires authority. But if the greatness of the person is just making, just making is that there is a chet akadmon. Avraham, you see, Avraham, this is the main difference between Avraham and Adam, obviously. Avraham right away understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only Elohim, he has all the dynamics, the whole cosmic drama depends upon him. Certainly it is like that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is also a teacher and a guide and a leader. There is something in HaKadosh Baruch Hu which makes it possible he felt immediately that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the answer to all problems which have been bothering his mind for 70 years. He owns me. And actually, not only physically, not only through the Shem Elohim, but through the Shem from Adi. When you read HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, automatically you have no dialogue between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you don't have a dialogue, with regard to Neach. You have a dialogue in Chumash. Ayim ha'alekim, aneach, ayim aneach ha'alekim. Hakomet Navron, vayipel Avron apon ha'ayim ha'adne ha'alekim zakat, the first time ha'adne appears. Adne ha'alekim, manech ha'alekh ha'arivi. It's a about Yishmael, what do you say? Vayim Avraham, Avraham Yishmael Yichlof Anecho. Neach didn't say it. He had no right to say it. Because Neach was not basically a nobody. There was Dvar Hashem addressed to Neach. Neach was not a nobody. He counted him. Chesedim is Neach, not counted. Because Neach is not a novi. And the same answer is regard to the to Bilam and the to Bilam and the and the no. And his status is a novi. Basically it's not a novi Bilam. He took instructions according to Baruch Hu, it happened to address the instructions to Neach. But this is not Nevuah. Nevuah means if the Anovi can bang on the doors of the Beis Elohim and the Rebbein Shimon, the doors of the Rav Yochel and Rebbein Shimon's residence at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, I need your help. Come on. Let's do it together. This Anovi. But Anovi just hears that story, he's not Anovi. He spoke with the Rebbe if I'm correct. And to tell a story to the Rebbe Nishon, you cannot approach him with the title he's the chief engineer of it. He is! But there's another approach which the Rebbe Nishon is father, teacher, he guides. With the title he's the chief engineer of it. He is! But there's another approach which the Rebbe Nishon is father, teacher, he guides. And Avraham understood that the purpose of Nevuah is to teach. The purpose of Elohim is not teaching. And that's exactly what the Gemara says, "Minyan sheboro HaKadosh Baruch Hu esolomei, lo yehoyo odom shekorei adne." What does that Adni mean, Adni? Master, owner. But you know, a master or owner can be approached. You can approach a master and an owner, but in any society. And ask for something. But with regard to a Mekin, you cannot approach at all. It's not Nebuya. Because Nebuya is only there as an exchange. There's mutual recognition. But if there's no exchange of remarks and no mutual recognition, there's no Nebuya. Why wasn't there Nebuya? Because for simple reason, because Hashem Elokim is not Nietzsche's Nebuya. Now, interestingly, distinction, unique principle, this distinction is almost invisible when you read the Chumash. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the chayes, the animal, the brood, and all the he told them they should multiply and be fertile. What does the Torah tell us? They take the Chumash Parashat. Vayemer Elokim. Vayemer, no say. A little louder. Who is the Esam? Who is the Esam? Esam. Who are the Chayes? Right, can you know? Vayemer Esam Elokim. Continue. By Baruch Elokim, I need just two words here. By Baruch Hashem Elokim, you read it possibly. By
Baruch Hashem Elokim,
Leimor. Leimor, in the following manner.
Through Urbu, whom you do it,
so the Baruch is consisted of what? The last three words. Yeah, that's all. Poor. Take a look in this regard to our Todam Arishim, when he was created. Todam Arishim, when he was created. Just a moment. By Baruch Hashem Elokim, Leimer, with regard to the Chayim. But with regard to Todam Arishim, by Baruch Hashem Elokim, there is no Vayimah Aleim Elokim with regard to the animals. But there is Vayimah Aleim Elokim with regard to Todom. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Todom. Hadn't Todom seen, hadn't Todom been a rebel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have achieved the Madrege, the Nivor, after the world. That's what Benson tried to do, Kaviyoko. By Yemal Elokim, Yemal Elokim is already a dialogue, a conversation. By Yemal Elohim, that deity is important. That's why Yemal Elokim. You know what Yemal Elokim? Leimor, by Yemal Elokim, Leimor. To whom the address is his word? We don't know. Because there was no subject, there was no individuality, there was no personality in the Chai. So Benson can say that Hashem, but you can say, you want to address yourself to a dog, but you cannot speak to them. Odom did not understand. Lake Roy Odom, this is Odom. You're the master, this is very Ahemish Avor. Whoever you want to address somebody or to say something, but you don't consider him different than you. So you say Vayimer Aleihem. This was the beginning of Afelik. Takos Bor wanted to engage Odom and Odom in a conversation, in a dialogue. And Odom would have had the right in such a case, under such circumstances, Odom would have had the right to say to Rabbi Yisroel, when he told him, "Reitz Hashabatecha Gam L'Sechel Menu," to ask why, to talk to Rabbi Yisroel. The Meshi came with Mitzrayim to Rabbi Yisroel, "V'hatzer Reitzal Tesham Yachor Amin," or I, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yisroel didn't like it, but he remained Meshi. This is the attitude of Odom. What it means, of course, you are master. You're superior to me. I can't understand you. But all it means, something else. That I'm close to him, he's close to me. Reishis bor l'klinas ha-shamayim v'sorot. What principle was established here? Reishis bor l'klinas ha-shamayim v'sorot. What principle? The principle, why is it necessary to tell us who created the world in this Rabbi's question and the Ramban's question, the Midrash question? The answer is, the one who created the world is also the Aden Kol HaMasim. This is Aden Kol HaMasim, we have an absolute commitment to it. What is the commitment? What is the commitment? What does the commitment consist? Not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to tell us the story, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can, if he wants to destroy the universe in 5 seconds, can rebuild another one. This is not important, as I said. Not important. It's important, Tanika. What's a different story? The important basis of the Kinas of Shemayim v'Sorek is in order to be what? To be considered, to be looked upon as what? As Adne. He and the Bria Shoelam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wanted man to be immediately very close to him. And the relationship should be a relationship of Adne. A relationship of Adne means Adne is not only Adne is very close to me. When Adne, you can call upon Adne with a request. Otherwise you didn't understand it. But this was the purpose. And that's exactly, and this is our greatest commitment, according to both of us, that he created the world and did not retreat from the world, but is together with this world. There are many philosophers in the 19th, 18th century who kept on saying, of course God created the world, but he deserted the world. Elohim is not enough, because such a false theory may be accommodated by the Shem Elohim. If the Shem Elohim is not added. Something is if not something is not added to Adishan Elohim. What has got to be added? Adne. The first one was Abraham who brought the message of Adne. And actually, this is perhaps the commitment of the Jew to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the rebellion, to the Jew, is a commitment, Adne Elohim. Not Elohim alone, but Adne Elohim. And here is a guarantee, this commitment will never be extinguished or will never terminate. It's forever and ever. You see in Bereishis, when you study Bereishis slowly, one parsha by another, I had the experience last Shabbos in Bereishis. Simply study Bereishis. When you study Bereishis, you see it's very hard that the language is hard because of Zagat Rabbeinu Shalom, but what this is the way Rabbeinu Shalom wanted us to know. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been introduced in as a part of the Torah. That Rabbeinu Shalom at the very beginning, who wanted the following. Man, he wanted that not a separate ume, should have a Christmas bris with the Rebbeinu. But man is such, not only Avraham Avinu should belong to the Christmas bris. Not only Avraham Avinu, not only Moshe Rabbeinu, not only the Levim, but men in general could have belonged to this charismatic society. And whatever God told the Knesset Yisrael to do was ready for delivery to the entire mankind. And in order to achieve that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also made the distance separating man from animal at the very beginning. The distance separating man from animal made much shorter than it was later, because of certain developments actually influenced and increased the distance. For instance, before the Mabul there was no Yisra Bosa, in the Morichu. There was no Yisra Bosa in Mabul. Why? Because Iso Boso, Achilles Boso, means complete separation of man and animal. And when the Rabbeinu Shalom addressed himself to Odom, Lacher Achet, Kritzidavat Asmiach, Veivros is Beni Vinecho, Beni Vinecho Yishukhovesh, Vatsmanokim, is apparently a dissimilar between the environment. And animal is not only the animal, the cat or the dog which runs around, or dead animals from the jungle in India. It's not. When you say animal, it means the whole universe, the whole habitation of where man lives. Then before the Chet, there is absolutely no enmity, no hatred between man and the Chayim. The Chaya could not be slaughtered by man in order to enjoy himself. It was a kind of a cooperative effort on the part of man and the part of the animal. What I say animal, I mean, as I told you, the all-including universe, which we call nature. The hate between nature and man developed after the Chet HaKadmon, and later the incident with Cain, again, Arura Adoma Babarecha, and finally with Neach. Neach is a long story as the Chitro and your fear and repose upon the people. Apparently the separation, complete, absolute alienation, started at the very moment of chet, disintegrate. The nochos and odom actually somehow could get along. And the tension, the tension which they experienced kept on developing until it reached its apex with the mother. The Chitchos somewhere, I remember that a number of years ago, somebody who were biochemist who worked in a laboratory in Germany, and in the laboratory there was, I forgot the name of the of the leading scholar, he's known, he got a Nobel Prize, I forgot the name. He said the papers quite from number for many months, perhaps years, the papers kept on telling this story, like the American media, before the death. Bormann, his name was Bormann. So famous biochemist. That Bormann has actually, decoded the message. Basically, you know very well that in order to find a universal remedy or cure for malignancy, you have to know basically the structure of the, understanding all the structure of the cell. Without basic understanding, other diseases can be just, man may find a remedy, may find a cure for other diseases, sometimes by coincidence. He had a certain drug in his laboratory. He wanted to find out what is the effectiveness of the drug. So anyways, instead of finding out as far as malignant, disease is concerned, but by searching for a cure, he found a cure for something else. But usually he said it is hard to simply to do research and find actually the thing I search for. You always find something else. Of course, it's also a contribution to the human understanding and recognition of nature, of the environment, of the milieu. But it's seldom that the biochemist who sits down and tries actually to solve the riddle, let's say, of malignancy, of degenerate these diseases. Well, how does this succeed? sometimes they told me, it is, you don't know, you think you are right on the threshold, a discovery, and then somehow as if nature was at being laughing at you. A month or 10 or a year later, you discover it is the Holy Dwarga. There is a certain enmity between man and nature. And the enmity expresses itself not only by the fact that Anochos bites man, it wouldn't be so bad. But the whole scientific research idea is handicapped to me by the fact that nature does not want that man should resolve problems and find out the truth behind them. Give man an opportunity. He should convince himself that by sinning he did not accomplish it. On the contrary. What is the answer to all that? The answer is Bereshis Bora Lekinas Hashamayim Vesoret. The story of Bereshis is the answer. And we have commitment, we Jews have actually something I don't understand quite often. For instance, take during Hitler as well. During the Hitler Holocaust, in Auschwitz. As I felt, and I felt it's not only of relevance to somebody else, but to my own self, that we did not experience the onslaught of the German soil, this complete surrender of the sense of surrender and commitment. We were quiet, we didn't say a word. I mean, there are quite a number of terutz why he didn't say. But the Jew was so overawed by the word FDR, or Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that he was afraid to say whatever. Something which couldn't have happened now. Well, I remember when the Rabbanim to Washington, one day before Erwin Kippur, to simply to stop at that time the gears the gas chambers were introduced as a method of exterminating the Jew. It was a legitimate claim. We wanted to turn over a petition to the president to do everything possible to save the people. So he didn't receive them, didn't put them in. We sent them to Wallace. You know how much influence Wallace had. But this is that his person should be reassessed and revalued by Jewish historical, no doubt about it. Now such a thing could develop. The American Jewish shame has changed. The use is a different use. But there's something else, the commitment from Bereshis Bora Elokim Hashamayim Vesoret, this commitment. Commitment of complete loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is high now, I don't say throughout, but many now they fast much stronger. Much stronger. And of course, this is our national shaman. In the June of 1941, of being the leader of Jewish opinion in America now, which is the enormous stack of papers, commentary, and the Jewish Congress are gone now. Commentary exists, but there's no use. Thank God for that. It's not only due to Franklin Roosevelt, to Franklin Artemar, to Franklin FDR's wishes, and to the, but also to the fact that the Jew of today in America is a much prouder Jew, much prouder Jew. And this is also part of the commitment of the priest. And this is